This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome back. It's your home for everything modern day wrestling. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. We tried this 2 weeks ago. We tried this actually a while ago. I guess it would be a month ago. And we had severe system failures. Fortunately, that has been fixed. And then 2 weeks ago, we had no main event because we did a special Place to Be podcast with the live watch of the Saturday night's main event preceding WrestleMania 22. Of course, you can hear that at placebnation.com. And since then, of course, JR and I have done WrestleMania 22 and Backlash 2006. And, of course, we're continuing there with our vintage vaults. But we're here tonight with two gentlemen who no strangers to this show. And I felt terrible that night because they were all ready to go. We were all fired up. And then, of course, Skype, which historically has always been kind of a love-hate with my computer. That night was a lot of hate, and we couldn't get it going, unfortunately. But tonight, the fourth wall is resealed, everything's working, and it's time to talk. First off, guy that I haven't talked to, I feel like, in eons, and a guy that I just talked to last night. First off, he is the purveyor of Marvel.com. He's throwing wads of toilet paper at that other company in their new logo. And but he's also a diplomat, and I appreciate that. He will travel 2,000 miles to visit my PIC, but I can't hook up with him, and he lives barely an hour away. That has to be worked on. But he's still my favorite person on the planet, Mr. Ben Morse.
Hey, Scotty. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Yes.
Always one of my favorite people on the planet as well. And like I told you earlier, you got a FedEx package with your name on it headed your way this week. So
fantastic.
Until I can shake your hand in person, hopefully that'll have to do.
Of course it will. But we will find a moment. Yes. We'll find a day, Benjamin. Always. But it's always good for you to be able to carve some time and join us. The reason we were chatting off air, as I mentioned, Benjamin is the purveyor of Marvel.com, so we all know what side of the fence he's on. But that other company, of course, relaunched a new logo. Remember the two letters? District of Columbia Comics. I don't know. To me, I always, like we talked about it, my favorite logo, I guess you said, is officially called the Bullet, which I never knew that was the name of the logo. But for those that remember, in the old days of reading Superman and Batman, the DC logo was the little stars, and that's the one I always remember. Anything after that was
lame. I'm with you. I'm the same.
Lame, in my opinion. You guys have had the same branding for...
You can go back to the 60s, and it doesn't look all that different from...
No, not really, right?
We keep it pretty consistent. If it works, it works.
Exactly.
We're the Monday Night Raw of comics companies.
Yes, and
except no one is clamoring for a change on ours.
That's right, exactly. And DC is obviously the Nitro in 2000. Let's hope they have better success. Of course, they're doing their big rebirth. And you can check all this comic chatter out. We have new podcasts, great Russell Sellers. We have great, Greg and Mr. Duke have their great columns on placebnation.com. We are your source for a lot of great comic stuff.
Absolutely.
And work with our good friends at Marvel as well. Benjamin, always a pleasure. And my other gentleman tonight, who I just saw, actually 24 hours ago, I was sitting next to him watching our beloved Metropolitans with a big win over the Nats. They are losing this evening, though, 3-1 against the Nationals. I think probably because Bartolo Colon is tired from all the siring he's doing. Mr. J. Arsenio Di Amato.
Hello. Echo. Now pinch hitting.
Pedro Bourbon.
If you get that reference, you're a cool dude, and you're also old as fuck.
That's right.
Like me and Scott. What's up, Scott?
JAD. Always a pleasure, man. It's good to see you last night. I'm going to see you Friday.
Thanks.
Be back in the building to watch our guys.
Thanks for having me on with two cool dudes. Thank you.
That's right. In Milwaukee to see the Brewers, and then against Milwaukee. I'll see you next Saturday with less cool dudes in the form of Matt Rotella's house. anyway, always good, Johnny, for you to join us this evening. You're specifically on, besides being one of my favorite people, you're on specifically this evening because you are going to be in the Rock. Well, not in the Rock. I'm sure a lot of people wanted that. Mickey James, maybe, or Trish Stratus. I don't know who wanted to be in the Rock back in 2000, 2001, 2002. Anyway, this Sunday is our next World Wrestling Entertainment pay-per-view outing. It is Extreme Rules live this Sunday from the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. How far is that away from your house, Benjamin? Can you look out the window?
Yeah, they'll be having it in my backyard.
That's fantastic.
Right on my property. Yeah, no. Newark's pretty close. If I hadn't gone to WrestleMania, I would probably have tried to go to Extreme Rules as well, but... Mm. I was only allowed one, and you know the choice was obvious.
Of course, and you brought it with you, so that helped too.
Yeah.
Yes, Extreme Rules this Sunday from the Prudential Center, The Rock in Newark, New Jersey. A lot of sequels from Payback, and then some new stuff as well. Mr. D'Amato will be in the building. He was with me in the building 2 years ago in that same state. When Extreme Rules 2014 was at the Izod Center.
Infamous Wii LC match.
That's right. The Wii LC match that I conveniently missed because the hot dog line was too long.
Hornswoggle said it was his favorite match.
Swoggle. Right? Is it Swoggle or Woggle? Yeah. What was his name?
Swoggle.
Swoggle. What the hell? Why would you? There's got to be a better name than that.
He said that Swoggle was his best match.
He looked like towards the end, he looked like a midget. Captain Lou Albano. That's just what he looked like. Like he's about to own Swoggle's Deli. And what an Italian combo. Anyway. Yes, that was 2 years ago at the Izod Center in East Rutherford, myself. Who was there? It was me, you.
Double A.
Double A and the Doctor at night. I got to hear Evolution's theme, which I never thought I'd hear again. And, of course, Daniel Bryan's last main event match.
Yeah, last match period.
Last match period. Well, no, because he...
Oh, that's right. He came back.
No, yeah. He came back. It was last match, last main event match I got to see live. So.
Funny story to share how the boss treats me, that we were split up that night. So, you know, 2-2. So you guys were huddling up and said, well, I got stuck sitting next to D'Amato at WrestleMania. So it's your turn, Anthony. Thanks a lot.
That is absolutely not how that went.
That's exactly how it went.
D'Amato drew the long straw and he picked you. So. Nah. It was a good show. But 2 years later, here we are again with Extreme Rules. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the show this evening and the Raw build since Payback. And then in the second segment, we are going to try a new game. I'm trying to come up with some new fun things to do here on Main Event. And we're going to try something new and fun tonight. So we'll do that after the break. All right. Benjamin, what are your thoughts since Payback on how things have gone in the company in terms of feuds, builds, your general overall thinking in the last, I guess it would be 3 weeks because Payback was May 1st.
Right. So. I'll tell you, Scott, I was super excited heading into Payback. I think it was one of the freshest cards they put on in a while, and I think they knocked it out of the park pretty well. It was a good show, a lot of good matches, a lot of new guys to see on top, which was refreshing. I think the problem with Extreme Rules is coming so close after, it really is, like you said, it's a lot of rematches. It's a lot of kind of retread, and the Raw the last few weeks feels like they're kind of just treading water, you know? Like, no big occurrences have happened. The Shane Stephanie status quo is kind of supposed to be the big change, but that hasn't been exactly electrifying. We've got the feud between AJ and Roman, kind of the same stuff coming on every week. It's been a lot of placeholder stuff, but you know, I understand with 12 or however many pay-per-views a year, you're going to get that once or twice a year, and it's going to lead to more good matches this Sunday, so I can't really hold them. I'm not holding them over the fire. I'm not criticizing them too harshly. But but I'd be lying if I said I was that excited by the last few weeks of build.
Johnny, what do you think? How have you felt things have gone the last few weeks?
Well, what sticks out for me is because of all these injuries, it's given opportunity for new guys to arise. And the two biggest guys that get the biggest reaction and are looking like the biggest stars to me at the Raws and the SmackDowns are AJ Styles and Kevin Owens. And hopefully that'll continue. And, you know, we'll see, you know, the crowds reacting to them and they get the biggest pops. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, where they go with those two.
Yeah, looking at this card, there's a few things I'm looking forward to, actually, and some other things that may be rebuilding people. Let's start with the pre-show match, or the match that'll be on before 8 o'clock, and that is a no-disqualification match between Dolph Ziggler and Baron Corbin. I'm getting the feeling that we're not going to see Dolph Ziggler much anymore. I'm just getting that feeling that the clock is ticking on him. What do you think, Ben?
No, I agree with you, Scott. I think he's either his days are numbered or his days of mattering are numbered. I don't like the feud with Corbin. You and I have talked about Corbin for well over a year. I just don't think he has anything special. I watched him suffer through a pretty bad match with Austin Aries in Dallas, and that's hard to do, make Austin Aries look bad. But I don't get his – I don't think he has an attachment with the crowd. I don't think he puts on particularly good matches. I'll give him credit that I think the character he's working, he's all in on the character, and that's what keeps him a little over. But, yeah, I think, you know, this is just going to be another example of Ziggler putting a guy over. And it's a reasonable question of yours to ask, how much longer are we going to see Ziggler? If the only purpose they have is for him putting over the younger guys, you know, what's his point? I'd almost love to see Ziggler in a tag team at this point. I'm thinking of basically he's in the spot Kofi was a year and a half ago, and Kofi saved his career with the New Day. I wonder if there's something they could do along those lines with Ziggler.
That's a good point because, I mean, obviously he's a good worker and crowd's still into him, I think. But, yeah, something seems to need to be done at this point to do something with him. And I think everybody thought that with Kofi, and Kofi's still around. You know, some guys hit a ceiling, and maybe he's hit his ceiling. So, I don't know.
You know what I'd love to see? Oh. Sorry, before you let Johnny check in here. I'd love to see them do something with him and Zack Ryder. I think they're real-life buddies. They're both talented. They both got lots of charisma. Put them together, let them do something in the tag team division. I think definitely that's preferable to seeing Zach with Mojo Rawley and Ziggler jobbing to Baron Corbin.
Mm. What do you think, John?
It's something that comes up that, like you always say, like somebody's got to lose. So I don't see Ziggler going anywhere because he puts on a good match. I mean, he sells his ass off. And you know, somebody's got to take the pins in these matches. So I don't see him going anywhere for a while. I think he's still going to hang around. You know? And you guys made a couple good points. Maybe a tag team or something outside the box that could give him a boost. But I don't see him going anywhere because his matches are still quality to me.
Hmm. How about a storyline where he goes to NXT?
Right. Because like Ryder did or something like that.
Yeah,
sure.
You know.
Sure.
What do you think, Ben?
I'd be interested in it. I mean, I think Ziggler's a tough sell, Scott, because the fact of the matter is he is embodiment of the WWE not giving the audience what they want. We wanted him as a world champion, and we didn't get it. He's almost like the living embodiment of the feud between the fans and WWE. I think it'd be cool to see him go down to NXT. There's a lot of great matches for him down there. Maybe it would reinvigorate him, but I also think if you send him down to NXT, you're probably not going to see him back anytime soon. I think you just put him down there. But you know what? That's not the worst thing in the world. Maybe NXT becomes a place where guys can go for a little refreshment to be working on top. And then maybe he does come back and he's stronger. I like the idea. I'm disenchanted with the fact that let me say this. In 2016, the three of us shouldn't have to be sitting here thinking of ways to save Dolph Ziggler's career. His career should be on better track than this, just based on the reactions he gets and the great matches he has. I mean, what more does he need to do in order to get over?
True. It's a good point. So what we're in essence saying here is that Baron Corbin's obviously going to win this match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Do you like Baron Corbin, John?
Not really.
I really didn't either at first. Yeah,
like Ben had mentioned, that's a big thing for me. He doesn't really connect with the crowd. I mean, he's just a big guy. I'm a big loner, but what's the gimmick or what's the...
What's the hook?
Yeah, mm-hmm. What are you going to say in the interview that's going to get the crowd, to really hate you? You know, when he comes out, it's kind of just crickets. So
yeah.
So far, not so much, but it's still early. Maybe there's a chance. But I don't see it. I just see a big guy. You know, I'm a loner, and that's it. So,
it's a no-go
so far.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a cool upset when he won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal at WrestleMania. But I agree with John. What is he? He's just a big dude. And I know, you know, there's a lot of guys in this company that are over for just being who they are. I mean, why was Daniel Bryan over? He didn't have a gimmick.
Well,
he was small and he had a beard and he was a good wrestler.
Yeah, but if you kick ass in the ring, if you're special in the ring, it doesn't matter what your interviews or your gimmick are. But if you're just a big guy that's just meh, that then you need something quality behind your interviews. Mm.
Good point.
I think
if you bring it in the ring, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
John's making a good point. I mean, he just can't. He doesn't have it in the ring. He's not a good bell to bell worker. He was at his best when he was working 30-second squash matches in NXT, and I think the gimmick they gave him that really connected was he was the guy who I got to NXT despite not being an indie guy, and I hate all you indie guys, and I'm going to crush you because I'm the one who got here because I was a football player. And that's a gimmick that doesn't really translate to the main roster because now he's going up against Dolph Ziggler, who was never an indie guy, and he's feuding with lots of guys who weren't indie guys. So he doesn't really – the one thing he had that made him stand out doesn't make him stand out anymore.
Mm. And he's a mediocre, like I said, you know, power guys don't need a hell of a lot of work, but they do kind of need something. And
right.
I don't even think he has. He's not even a Batista, you know?
No, that's an insult to Batista.
Yeah, he's not even, I don't know what he is. So
I do like the finishing mover is unique. The end
finishing
of days,
move's but, great.
Yeah, but you need something else. So I wouldn't totally give up on him, but I don't see it.
Yeah. Well, I don't either at the moment. He's going to win this match. And obviously they don't think enough of him yet to fit him a spot on this show. So maybe we're not the only ones who think this way, but he is the guy that's getting the opportunity. So, all right, let's go to the proper card that starts at 8 o'clock. We'll start off with this Texas Tornado Tag Team match between the Usos. Yeah, I think so too. And the club, which is, of course, Machine Gun Anderson. They should just call him Machine Gun. I hate political correctness. Ruins everything. And Luke Gallows. This has been a mess from the minute they debuted. Because, in my opinion, these guys should be treated like immense tag team rock stars. And instead, I think Vince looks out the curtain and goes, oh, shit, I didn't know we had Festus. Just my opinion. This is what I feel. These guys need to be more special, and they're not.
I don't disagree with you, Scott. The only thing I'm looking out for and I'm waiting for is to see how much of an opportunity they get to shine in ring at the pay-per-view when they're actually going to have some time to work. Hopefully they give them some time to work. Hopefully they give them, you know, at least 15 minutes or something and have them put a bust-ass match on with the Usos. Because if you think about it, AJ was unique. If AJ had come in the traditional way and done some promos and, you know, Vince heard his accent, I have a feeling AJ would not be getting the push he's getting now. Because AJ came into the Royal Rumble and the very first we saw of him was just him kicking ass in the ring, which he can do so well, I think that convinced Vince and the powers that be to watch him a little bit. I think Gallows and Anderson, you know, they're not talkers. They're not bad on the mic, but they're not traditionally talkers. They're badasses. They need to do stuff. When they came in that first night and assaulted the Usos, that was great. But then when you had him just doing backstage segments for the next couple of weeks, that didn't work. Give them a chance to really show what they can do in the ring, and they're still salvageable, for sure. But I also agree with you. I don't think they've been handled well up to this point.
I mean, I understand we can't recreate the Bullet Club, and everybody kind of fell into that trap for most of the early part of this year. But at the same time, they got to win this match. Who cares about the Usos anymore? Who cares? Who cares they're on Total Divas? Who cares? Time for them to either turn heel or go to NXT or go away. Because, you know, they had a shelf life, and that shelf life is over. Who do you like in this one, John?
Yeah, the club, but I agree with you guys. In 1 month, they've already eaten a bunch of pins in six-man matches, and they lost straight up to the Usos already in a match. I mean, come on. They should have, like you said, Scott, they should have came out like gangbusters and been strong. So, there's no way they're going to lose this match. But you never know. The way they're booked already, who knows?
Yeah, I don't understand. I honestly don't. We need some – there needs to be a major creative change. I mean, I know we've talked about it over and over again, but with new guys, you know, mistreating guys that have been here for 5, 6, 7 years, I mean, who cares? But when you have fresh talent like this and you've already abused these guys at a point where they're not even strong anymore, they need to, like, take the Usos out. I don't think just winning this match is going to matter. I think they need to take them out, destroy them.
It's sad, but I think we take wins and losses more seriously than the booking committee does.
Yeah, I agree. I know we went through the whole debate about 50-50, and I know Will used to get into it. And I mean, does it matter in this case, though, Ben?
I think they need to, be portrayed as winners. I was going back and forth as you guys were just talking, like, would it be enough for them to just have a strong showing and get DQ'd for beating them up? No, they need to show not only that they can hurt the Usos, which they need to do. They need to hurt them. It's a wild match. These guys are supposed to be these monsters from Japan. They need to put a physical abuse on the Usos, but they also need to win. They need to show that they're a team that cares about winning, because that's the worst type of character, the character who doesn't care about winning. It's not about whether we care about wins or losses. It's not about whether the booking committee cares about wins or losses. I want the guys in the ring, the characters, to care about wins or losses.
Right.
I think that's part of the problem. With characters like Dean Ambrose, where they, you know, in theory, should just want to go out and get DQ'd every time because they just want to hurt the guy as much as possible.
Right.
If you're gonna give Gallows and Anderson a little depth to their character, I think they're definitely guys who like to go out and fight. That's the same character as everyone, but they also desire success. They've been successful in Japan. They want to be successful here, and that means getting the win.
Yeah, I think they're going to win this match, but they need to really win it definitively. I mean, we need we need these guys to get folded up and put in a trunk of a car and driven off.
Do you guys think they move on to challenge the New Day after they get this win and maybe move on with a program with the New Day?
I think it'd be a good spot for him, John.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they should get to the titles quicker than most because their legitimacy lies on them being champions. So you have to get them there pretty fast.
It's a great point. Great point. We're going to get to the New Day in a minute. Speaking of Dean Ambrose, we have what is known as an asylum match.
This reeks of TNA.
This just reeks of TNA. It's like Monsters Ball or whatever.
I know. With that corny music, it was God. It's right up
dreadful.
My alley.
So, enlighten me here. What is the gimmick? Like, what is the stip again?
It's a steel cage with weapons hanging inside. So it's basically
and a straitjacket. All sorts of like a mental institution paraphernalia.
Stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard.
It's going to make me homesick.
Hopefully they'll have an electroshock chair. Hopefully Abdullah the Butcher will be there.
Abdullah, yes.
Hopefully like Abdullah the Butcher, the switch just falls.
Yeah.
Like in Halloween.
Oh, God.
Is Dean Ambrose been rehabilitated to this point, Ben, after what happened to him at Mania?
I mean, Dean Ambrose is Dean Ambrose. The beauty of his character is he can come out and act crazy and people are going to love him as much as they did the month before, no matter how many losses he takes. I don't think he's one of those characters who he's built to be successful no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he is. What he could be is so much more.
Right.
He could be a guy who is a legitimate championship contender, championship threat, having epic feuds with guys like Seth Rollins. But the problem is they seem to think that he's the guy who can lose three quarters of the year, and then because the crowd still gets behind him, they can boost him up the other quarter of the year just when they need a fresh challenger for the world title who's not going to win. Or maybe he'll win a couple. They think, like, basically they're treating him like Mick Foley right now when he could be Steve Austin. And having a career as Mick Foley is no small thing. But, I mean, Mick Foley is the guy who, at the end, he probably lost 75% of his matches. He was not a guy who was known for going out there and dominating. He was a guy who was known for going out there and, you know, giving of his body. And I think Dean Ambrose is the same way.
Right.
He's got the same kind of character. He's the, you know, lovable loser, the lovable underdog. I think he's got the potential to be the anti-authority rebel who the whole crowd would rally behind. So it's damning someone with faint praise to compare him to Mick Foley, who's a legend, but I think Dean Ambrose could be the next tier of legend if they treated him better.
What do you think, John?
I think he lost a lot of momentum that he had a few months ago as far as his the crowd reaction, his connection with the crowd. I think that program with Brock really hurt. It hurt both of them. You know, the match didn't deliver, and he kind of went down. He kind of went down real soft, which you know, I guess wasn't unexpected, but it didn't do him any favors. And I think the reaction and his momentum has really slowed down. But with that, I did like the with Jericho when he brought Mitch when he clocked him with Mitch. That was the best part of this build-up. So
absolutely,
some shitty stuff. There's always something that you can look to that they do right. So I mean, this should be an entertaining spectacle. I mean, Jericho is getting a lot of heat that, you know, he shouldn't be that he's washed up, but he can still deliver from time to time. So, but you know, to sum it up, I think definitely Ambrose has lost a lot of momentum, and we'll see where he goes from here.
Yeah, he's definitely going to win this match.
Yeah, you never know though. The way they do things, maybe they might bring back like a Rollins or somebody, you know, to build up his next feud. You know, it might be one of those surprises that sneaks up in the cage. So you never know what they do. But
I thought Jericho was leaving.
I think that was a trick on his part.
Yeah, he's trolling. I don't know.
Yeah.
Should he leave?
It's a hard thing to say, man. You know, I've been a long time Chris Jericho fan, and I'm not really enjoying watching what he's becoming in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's quite where he was before, and listening to him, his justifications, I don't think he's entirely. I think he's got delusions of grandeur at this point, mm-hmm. as far as what he can and can't do, but he's still valuable. He's still a star who you can use to build bigger stars off of. I think Ambrose beating him last month was a good step in the right direction. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm torn because I was such a big Jericho fan for so long, and part of that fandom makes me not want to see him tarnish his legacy. But I also, you know, I like kind of like having him around.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm a big fan too, and I don't see any harm in it. I mean, as long as he stays in the mid-card and puts guys over, I don't see any harm in it. But also, it may be, especially when all the guys come back from injuries, it may be time to step aside.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, he's going to win this match. He's going to lose this match. Ambrose is going to win again because we do have a huge pay-per-view coming up next month, which has a lot of possibilities for a lot of guys. And, of course, I'm talking about Money in the Bank. I've said what my pick is going to be for a while. Even through last year,
You stuck to your guns,
and I'm still sticking to him. We'll get to him actually, we're going to get to him right now, because the next match I want to talk about is the Fatal 4-Way for the Intercontinental Championship. Your champion is The Miz with his wife Maryse, who she's still hot, but I don't know, she doesn't have that same kind of hachi machi she had before. Maybe because we know she's married to such a douche. I don't know. I don't know. It's better when she was single. In any event, he will defend his Intercontinental title against Kevin Owens, Cesaro, and Sami Zayn. This is probably the match I'm most looking forward to because I love all four guys. Well, I love three of the four guys. Any of them can win. I don't think Cesaro will because I still think there's something for him down the line that the IC title doesn't, isn't for him. So I don't think he's going to win the IC belt. I think it's Sammy's. I think it's Sammy's belt to win. Because I think both Cesaro and Kevin Owens have other things on the horizon. I think it's Sammy's moment now to be the Intercontinental Champion and to officially be part of this roster. My pick. What do you think, John?
I love this match. This is the match I most look forward to. And it's very rare. Like usually in a four-way like this, you could eliminate like one or two guys as having no chance right off the bat. But you can make a case for each one of these guys. I say everybody's got an equal chance. But believe it or not, the WWE, when we all criticize them, they make chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what with The Miz. And,
yes.
I think he's going to hold on in this one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I consider that an upset pick.
Zayn and Owens are going to continue their feud, and I don't think they really need their matches are going to be the shit no matter what. I don't think it needs to be over a belt. So.
Okay. What do you think, John? Benjamin?
I think for as much criticism as we may be levying at WWE for a lot of stuff they're doing, this feud is the saving grace. I mean, it's great. It was great when it was the two separate feuds, and the way they melded it into one single feud over the course of Payback was just brilliant. Kevin Owens has been exceptional on the microphone. I think Miz is resurgent with Maurice out there. Sammy's looking great. Cesaro's finally looking comfortable. There's a difference between looking good and looking comfortable. You know, he's always looked good. He's always looked good, but now I think he really is comfortable in his own skin. I think he's doing well with the audience. As far as who's going to win this one, I feel like same thing that John said. I think KO and Sammy continue on without the belt. So it really is a question of does Miz hold on to it or does Cesaro grab it? I think they're going to want to do a title switch. So I'm going to go and put my money on Cesaro. I'm going to disagree with you, Scott.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay. I like the fact three different picks of tonight. And notice the one guy nobody picked.
Yep.
And why is that?
MITB. Yeah. Money in the Bank.
I'm telling you. Ben, do you still think I'm crazy?
No, I think did I think you were crazy? Do you have me on record?
I don't think you've ever thought I was crazy.
Then,
I know I'm crazy, but in this instance,
I think you're crazy, but not for that. Man.
in this instance, no, I think it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I don't know. I got to see how that all shapes up, but
that's another conversation. That's another. Conversation.
I will say this. I think his time with the Intercontinental title has come and gone. I think he has moved on to another phase of his career. Phase of him as an Intercontinental Champion, I think it was a nice run while it lasted, but the point of the Intercontinental title is to get guys ready for the next thing, and he's ready for the next thing.
Okay. All right. Hey, great analysis there. I agree. I don't think he needs it anymore either. All right, so Johnny, you go with The Miz to retain. I like Sami Zayn, and Benjamin likes Cesaro, which I would not be upset about whatsoever if Cesaro won it. I just don't think – I think they have other things for him, and the belt is not it. But if he wins it, I'll be perfectly happy.
Either way, it'll be an upset if this isn't the best match on the night.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. This next match will not be the best match of the night. Kalisto, who's obviously been on a tightrope with this U.S. title, is now facing the Bulgarian brute Rusev. For the title on Sunday. Obviously, this is some sort of repackaging, or almost not repackaging, because it's still the same gimmick. Rebuilding of Rusev after what seemed to be the start of a great 2015, and then it just went boo when you lose to John Cena 47 times in a row. Ben, what do you think? Is this a squash? I think it's a squash.
I think you're probably right. I love Kalisto, and I think he really has potential to be the new Rey Mysterio they've been looking for years. I had high hopes when they gave him the U.S. title, but they've pretty much buried him in underneath feuds. He's still one half of a tag team. He hasn't really been taken seriously as like a guy with a title that you really care about. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Rusev wins, even though he probably should, because Rusev just lost to Sin Cara a few weeks ago, which I think was a huge mistake. Rusev, if they want Rusev, I wish they would just make up their minds here. If you want to have the plucky underdog champion, you've got Kalisto, but have him pick up some legitimate wins. If you want to have the big, tough, murdering heel champion, great. Have Rusev win the belt, but have him steamroll everyone on the way there. That really sticks in my gut that he lost to Sin Cara fairly cleanly a couple weeks ago, and he's still being portrayed as a monster. Just go all the way with it. Like, I don't know what they're afraid of in that sense. Have him, he should have put Sin Cara on the shelf. He should be beating guys every week en route to destroying Kalisto, taking back the U.S. title, and becoming the monster he was before. So that's why I don't think, even if Rusev does win, which I think he will win, I think so. I'm not sure. I'm torn on this match. But even if he does win, I still don't think he's going to be the Rusev of 2014 again. Giving him a U.S. title doesn't instantly undo all the damage that's been done. And yeah, I don't know. I'm very split on this match. I really am. Part of me thinks they're going to job Rusev out again.
Oh, it would be tragic, in my opinion. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I reluctantly go with Rusev, but even if he does get it, isn't it just a replay of where he was a couple of years ago as the U.S. champ? So where do they go with him from here? Like, what contenders would be after that? Or does it really build him back up if he's a U.S. champion again? So I'm kind of torn. But then again, a loss is going to be even worse. So it's. I don't know what to feel on this one, but yeah, I reluctantly go with Rusev.
Yeah, I think what you're expressing, though, John, is what everyone's expressing, and that's that Rusev may be unfixable right now. There's no magic bullet to fix him.
Yeah.
Which sucks, because I loved his character.
Yeah, a lot of people.
That's a home run. How could you
mix that up? And probably one of the most memorable, and probably one of the most memorable entrances in the history of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
All you needed was Ivan Drago and Brigitte Nielsen right next to him. Brigitte Nielsen looks like breakfast sausage now, but I don't know if you'd put her on the tank now, but if you put her on the tank from 1987, hell yeah.
But Brigitte and Flavor Flav, you know.
That's right. Oh, God. I don't know who's uglier. All right, so we both are tentatively thinking that Rusev should win the United States title here and change it to the Bulgarian title, but I don't know if I want to hang on to that anymore like I did the last time.
Nah.
That's not going to happen now. My idea was better anyway. They should have changed it to the Russian Heavyweight Championship. But they could have made a great belt, put Putin's face on it. Would have been great. Idiots.
Bring Nikolai back as a co-manager.
Wearing the little pennies again.
Salute.
This is Rusev. All right. Next, fascinating match here. Another title match. Our women's championship on the line as Charlotte and Natalya rematch from Payback after that really screwed up ending last time. And now, though, if Ric Flair goes to ringside, he is banned from ringside. If he makes it to ringside, Natalya will win the belt. For a while now, I thought that Natalya was going to win the title. However, now hearing all these, the new scuttlebutt involving Paige and her, you know, her new Latin lover there, Madonna's boyfriend or whatever the guys at When Worlds Collide, whatever those nicknames were. In any event, because of this now kind of coming to the surface, you almost think that Charlotte will probably keep the title. But I would have liked to have seen Natty have, like, a run. I don't think she will. She could have. But I think with this new stuff coming in, this new information and Vince wanting to, you know, get his jollies, I have a feeling Charlotte will keep it. What do you think, Ben?
I think Charlotte keeps the title for a different reason. I think it's because they want to keep the title on her until they're ready to have Sasha Banks take it, which I don't think is going to happen until SummerSlam.
Okay.
That being said, I'm with you, man. I want to see Natty have a run with the title. I wish they would just give it to her even for a month or two and then have Charlotte win it back. These two had an incredible match at a takeover about 2 years ago. They have good chemistry. If they're on, they're on. The storyline, I think, has been good.
They had a good match at Roadblock, too.
Yeah. They did have a good match at Roadblock. You're right. I like the storyline, that Charlotte's relying too much on Flair's interference. It's already going to be a memorable spot because you know he will show up. So it's a question of, you know, there's that tension of, is he going to cost her the title? I think this will be a fun match, but I think right now with Charlotte, I honestly think right now with Charlotte, they're kind of booked into a corner of they're really planning on ascending Sasha because they're still getting the We Want Sasha chance during every women's match. Yep. And I think you're right with Paige is going to be up next, but I don't think she has any more chance of taking the title than Natty does. And I think they go into Charlotte Sasha. And I guess I just hope it's worth sacrificing the rest of the division. Sasha Banks is a great wrestler. She's an incredible star, but you're really, I think they're doing a long-term build, which, you know what, maybe that's great. Put all your eggs in one basket. Sasha's the one you want to build. So have Charlotte run over everyone until then. But it also means, you know, a lot of the other girls are going to look like not competent challengers. I guess if she can have a good match and almost get there, it'd be good. And I would like to see Natalya get the title back at some point.
What do you think, John?
The Roadblock match was way better than the Payback match. So hopefully they could get that magic back. Mm. But I think Charlotte's going to retain it. And it was just an upset just for Natty to get this program. With all the young up-and-comers coming up, you figure she'd be pushed to the side. So it was good for her to at least get this program and get back in the spotlight. And I think that's enough for her. But it's time for Charlotte and the young chicks to take over.
Mm. You think Becky's Lynch has been ignored, Ben?
I think she was given a chance. She's not being ignored because she's still on TV every week. They could very easily put her off TV every week, but mm-hmm. I think they're really trying to, I got to give them credit for as much as I said, they're centering around one person. They really are trying to build an entire division. I mean, it's unfortunate that Emma got injured because I think they were giving Emma a nice push. Paige is still a relevant person. At some point, Nikki Bella is going to come back. We'll see what they do with her. But it's not just three women having a triangle match anymore. There literally is half a dozen girls who could be in contention for this title, and there's more coming up from NXT. So I don't think – I mean, you only have one title, so you can only have one person holding the title. And I think they're getting away from the multi-girl matches that were such a staple of this previous era. So that means you can only have one challenger. And that means, you know, someone like Becky, she had a good run. She got to challenge Charlotte solo. She got to challenge Charlotte as part of the three-way. She cools off for a little while now, and that's okay.
And I said this right out of WrestleMania. I thought she out-wrestled Sasha.
She did. She's just, unfortunately, Sasha's just more over.
And that's fine. I like Sasha.
It's not unfortunate. It's unfortunate in the sense that if we're going purely on merit, Becky would have earned more based on WrestleMania because she did out-wrestle Sasha. But I think Sasha is so ingrained as a star in everyone's minds, and deservedly so, because she is a star. So we'll see what happens.
Let me ask you guys this. I'm thinking about this now. Take Charlotte out of the equation for a minute. Let's talk about this question strictly about Becky and Sasha. Do you think Becky is the younger female fan's favorite because she's kind of the, you know, she has the cute little steampunk thing going on and she's kind of goody goody and she's like a pure baby face, whereas Sasha is almost like the smarky IWC's fan wrestler because she's a good worker and she's got that different kind of aura about her, and that's why they're both working as baby faces because they're both catering to different audiences?
It's an interesting way of looking at it. I don't think you're wrong. I think Becky probably does appeal to a lot. It would be obviously much even more interesting debate if we were talking about Bayley and Sasha.
Right.
Because Bayley is, you know, of course, designed to be the fan favorite for the younger set. I don't know. I think everyone likes Sasha. I think she's got a pretty universal appeal. And I think most people like Becky Lynch at this point. I think it's just a matter of the end of the day, for me, it's one feels like a star and one feels like just another really competent, good worker.
Yeah, Becky comes off as more like the underdog type.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I want to ask you guys, what do you guys think? Maybe not every monthly event or pay-per-view, whatever, but like every other one. Shouldn't there be like two Divas matches? Not Divas anymore. Two women's matches?
Yeah, definitely.
Every other month?
Sure. Definitely. I think they were headed towards having Becky Lynch versus Emma on this card. I think Emma just got hurt.
She's got back issues, I think, right?
Yeah, she's got to have surgery. She's out for a while. She was just getting some momentum. Finally.
So hot she was, too.
Because it looked like they were going in that direction.
Yeah. I agree with you, John. Felt that way, too. Yeah.
Hey, we're talking a lot more about women's wrestling and talking about it as a serious thing. So, I mean, it's a step in the right direction.
That's only because Jordan's not on.
Yeah, right. Strategic book.
They should all have beards and look like Daniel Bryan. That's what he thinks about the Divas. Nah. Why don't we take a break? When we come back, we'll do the last two matches, which is our tag team championship and, of course, our main event for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Thank God we didn't go tonight, John.
Yeah, I know.
5-1, and Daniel Murphy's got two RBIs tonight, so it was good to be doing this instead. When we come back, we'll talk the last two matches from Extreme Rules and then have our new fun segment, which usually involves us making fun of old stuff and crappy wrestlers. More main event with Benjamin and the Diamatu after this.
Because...
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out Scott Criscullo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Main Event, Mission Indie Possible, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. And relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series, led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We got sports covered too with the Sports Evolution Mega Show with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr., the Kings of Sport led by Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, as well as the NBA Team Podcast and the TJ McClune Show. PTBN tackles pop culture and irreverence with Richard and the Mailman, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, and if you like a hybrid of all of this in list form, check out Jordan Duncan's Rank and File. All of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. We want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network. That's the PWO PTBN Podcast Network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the reaction shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We've got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Teams Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
All I can say
welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to the main event. Scott Criscolo, Ben Morse, J. Arsenio D'Amato. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Guess what came back tonight, boys? We missed the 90s.
Mallrats.
Not one of my favorites. Decent movie.
I miss the 90s.
I miss some of the 90s. I don't miss all of the 90s. I miss some of the 90s. Movie was okay. The column is great. But the movie was never one of my favorites. I'm a Clerks fan. Clerks was good. But anyway, check out the article anyway, whether you love or hate the movie, because my man, my PIC, Mr. Zero, usually does it with a beautiful Jen Engel. But she is on sabbatical, so the cowboy and Mr. Flanagan, they stepped in, but then they got busy, so Chris Jordan took over. I don't know, Justin's going through a lot of relationships. He's kind of like Ric Flair's wives. but anyway, Justin and Chris do a great job talking Mallrats on the newest installment of We Missed the 90s. Also the newest installment of Place to Be Nation's excellent WWE Network adventure. For those that don't know what that is, myself, Mr. Rosero, Chad Campbell, Jason Greenhouse, Dan McGinn, we're watching everything on the WWE Network in chronological order. And our newest installment is the July 30th, 1984 episode of Tuesday Night Titans. And let me tell you something. I want a disclaimer on this. And this is not indicative of our written column, which is awesome. Please check it out. However, if you are very easily offended, I would be very careful watching these TNTs. I will tell you right now, Mr. D'Amato knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Paul Orndorff is fucking awesome.
If you're not that sensitive, he's hilarious. If you are, you might want to go find him and turn him in. But I will clue Mr. Morse in at the end of our program what I'm talking about. But it's the show. But anyway, we watch it. We go some observations, best segments, disappointments. We have a grading system. It's pretty awesome. So check out our newest installment of the excellent WWE Network adventure, the July 30th, 1984 episode of Tuesday Night Titans. Brad Woodling has your newest recap of Ring of Honor TV. Glenn Butler with his Wednesday walk around the web. JR and I with our most recent Vintage Vault refresh, as we're refreshing a lot of our old stuff. And this time it is the November 23rd, 1990 episode of The Main Event. Not this show, of course, but the main event that was on Friday night nationally on NBC. We're coming to the end of we're coming to the end of the line of Sorry, It's Main Event, and I hope you've enjoyed it. And it's creating a new ebook, so it's going to be a lot of fun as we get as we go through the line. What JR and I are doing, of course, our current ebook. Federation era of pay-per-views from WrestleMania 1 to Survivor Series 1992 is out now. You can check it out on both Barnes & Noble and Amazon. And a second book is in the works, so keep it up. Anyway, our newest Vintage Vault refresh, The Main Event number 4 from November 23rd, 1990. And, of course, Mr. Bayless has your Raw rundown as we are on the road to Extreme Rules. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Don't forget to go to Amazon through us. Nothing is, there's no price changes. You just buy your stuff and a little piece comes back to us to help run the site. So thank you in advance. All right, guys, we were talking about Extreme Rules this Sunday in Newark and two matches left. Our tag team championship on the line. We talked about these guys a moment ago. Your champs are still the New Day. Complete with Freebird rules, Big E, Kofi, X-Man, taking on the number one contenders, who almost won the number one contender spot by default, the Vaudevillains, Aiden English and Simon Gotch, although I think they were going to win it anyway. But I thought the Vaudevillains would win it. They may still do. But, Mr. D'Amato, if your theory is correct about the club, should the New Day keep it? What do you think, John?
Oh, I think the New Day are definitely going to keep it. I don't see the Vaudevillains getting the straps at this stage. So I think it was a little too soon for them. Given time, they have potential, the vaudevillians. I'm not totally crapping on them, but I don't think they're ready to take the belt. So,
okay.
They just got here and already they get a title chance. It's a little soon.
Okay. Ben, if Enzo and Cass were meant to win that match at Payback, if Cass hadn't gotten hurt, and they were in this number one contender slot, would they have won the belts?
I don't think that was ever the plan. I'm with you, Scott. I think the vaudevillians were always the intended winners. I think you might see Enzo come back on the pay-per-view. I think there's going to be a strong feud when he comes back with them, the vaudevillians. But I think this is a very big spot for the vaudevillians. I'm with John. I don't think they're winning the titles. I don't think anyone's expecting them to win the titles. But because expectations are so low, they really have an opportunity to show that they belong here. They really have an opportunity to show that they can hang with the New Day on the new roster, or on the main roster, and that they deserve. Because there's a lot of people who don't think the vaudevillians belong on the main roster. They think they're strictly an NXT act. And I would love to see them prove everybody wrong here and just have a great long. I don't think they're going to get too long. I think this is probably going to be the match that gets the short end of the stick. So they're not going to have a lot of time to work with, but I'll be rooting for the vaudevillians. I think they're both talented guys and I want to see them earn their spot here. The New Day, they're made men. They can't be touched. Everything they do is phenomenal and they are over for life, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. But the vaudevillians are the guys who really have something to prove.
Okay. Yeah, I think they're going to win here, and I agree with you, John. I think this is meant for the club because I think they're going to – because that's an interesting feud because, the New Day can make fun of them and everything, but I think the club, if they're booked properly, will have no room for cereal boxes and unicorn horns.
Right, that's going to be an interesting feud. It almost has to become serious.
Yeah, because they're not going to put up any of that bullshit. So we'll see what happens. And finally, our main event, yet another rematch from Payback. Roman Reigns, once again, defending the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against AJ Styles in an Extreme Rules match. I wanted to like the match at Payback so bad. I really wanted to like it, but it was just a booked shit fest. I think what pissed me off about that Payback match was it ended up being used as a crutch or as a pawn in the whole Shane versus Stephanie bullshit. And that sucks. It's a championship match. It shouldn't be used as a crutch for somebody else. Maybe Sunday, John, you'll get a better match live. I'm curious to see your thoughts when we talk again after that about how the live reaction is for you Sunday with Roman Reigns. There are rumors that Vince has kind of given up and stopped caring about this now, whereas Hunter legitimately wants to at least give this guy a little bit longer leash. How do you think Roman Reigns has been since WrestleMania?
Unimpressive, because he's not doing anything. They're sitting on such an interesting character. I know I've been calling for the Roman Reigns heel turn for months, but they didn't even need to fully turn him heel. Just the idea that he's this guy who has the belt, just like making him a more three-dimensional character instead of giving him a catchphrase that's the equivalent of saying I don't care if you are booing me, that to me is not character progression. That's lazy, and there's a lot that can be done with this guy. He's good in the ring. He clearly draws a reaction from the fans, but WWE watched Once Upon a Time used to move to what the fan reactions were. If the fans booed him, then they would make him heels. If the fans cheered him, you make him a babyface. It's just so illogical that it drives me nuts.
Besides, we already have a guy acting like Roman Reigns. His name's John Cena.
Yeah.
But I think that's what they want. They want him to follow in Cena's footsteps and at least get the reaction, half boos and half cheers. But
yeah,
it's about 30 boos, 30 cheers, and the rest crickets, which is not a good look. Yeah.
I just think there's so much potential in Roman Reigns. I think there's so much potential in him as a heel who could become a much bigger babyface, and I'll keep saying it's all blue in the face. As far as this match coming up on Sunday, I think it'll be a good match. I think you're right, Scott. Their match got sacrificed a little bit last month for McMahon shenanigans. Hopefully that won't be the case here. They've got Extreme Rules. They can have the club involved. They can have the Usos involved. They can have weapons involved. They've already kind of started playing around with chairs and stuff like that last few weeks. And this is going to be one of those matches where I'm going to turn off my smart fan. Oh, of course, Roman Reigns is going to keep the title. And I'm just going to be rooting for AJ the whole time because AJ Styles is like, he's my favorite wrestler. So I want to see him win. Logically, maybe that's not the way to do it, but they've got me. They've got me running on emotion for this match, and that's what they need to get more people to do.
Think AJ wins, John?
Nah, I think Reigns keeps it. There's gonna be a lot of shenanigans. The club, the Usos, anybody, maybe some surprises. Maybe like Rollins or somebody that's injured will show up, but I think Reigns keeps it. Mm. And just to elaborate on what Ben said, I agree with what he said. And just it's like basically they came up with the one good, he did have one good line. You know, I'm not a good guy, I'm not a bad guy, I'm the guy. But it seems like that's it. They just patted themselves on the back and say, hey, we came up with one good catchphrase for him, and that's it. But there's got to be further. They got to keep going with it, further development. And I think they definitely want him to follow in Cena's footsteps as far as getting, you know, being a half heel, half face in the crowd. But it's not near the reaction.
Unfortunately, there's so many of those guys. Yeah. There's only so much you could do with that, you know?
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. But so there is your Extreme Rules preview. John, hope you have a good time Sunday night in Newark.
Yeah, I'm still looking forward to it. I've had good luck with the B shows. The A shows, not so much, but the B shows.
I think you'll get a good show. I think it's going to be fun.
I think so, too. And then we will look ahead to Money in the Bank, as I mentioned, which is in... I don't know where Money in the Bank is. I think it's in... let me see...
Columbus, Ohio?
Columbus, Ohio. No, it's not Columbus, Ohio. No, it's in, I think it's in St. Louis. I don't have it in front of me. I think it's in St. Louis.
I'll look it up while you keep going, Scott.
Yes, I think it's in St. Louis. Thank you, Benjamin.
No problem.
All right. A while back, last year, I wanted to start a new fun segment where we could do a lot of... some fun, you know, goofy humor segment. So I had found a site called LOLTNA where these guys did a timeline of the history of TNA. And the first 3 years, when they were unwatchably horrendous, were a lot of fun. Puppet, Oatmeal, Cheeks. There was just some great fun things to make fun of. As I was looking ahead, and we got to like 2006, 2007. Now, 2006 to 2010 is pretty much like TNA's wheelhouse. They were actually not bad. You could argue that they had better workers than WWE did between 2006 and 2010. JR and I are going through 2006 in our vintage vaults, and we just did Backlash, and that show sucked. And I'm sure we're going to have more, you know, pay-per-views of great suctitude throughout the rest of 2006. So I found myself like not laughing as much as I did, you know, when we had Cheeks or Puppet and Oatmeal in a trash can. You know, those were funny. Those were great. But none of that stuff was there anymore. So I decided, I was talking with my PIC and some other people, what's a good segment to laugh at? I've been listening to a great podcast. Finally, I'm trying to catch up on a lot of my podcast watching. Tremendous podcast here on the Place to Be Nation podcast network from our friends at PWO. It's called Between the Sheets. Chris Zellner and the Bix, David Bix and Span, usually have a different guest on every week. And they do, what they do is, for those that don't know, they take whatever week they're on, they take that exact week at a year in wrestling history and talk about what's going on during that week. I've been listening from the beginning. So the episode today I listened to was the second week of September. This was this past September. So they took what was going on September, I think it was the 12th through the 19th of September, 1993. And went through all the stuff. And they're talking about ECW and, you know, King of the Ring and Shawn Michaels and all that kind of stuff. And they do that with every episode. So definitely check that show, that podcast out, because they're fantastic. But I thought to myself, I'm not going to steal their idea. I'm going to borrow it and amend it. There's a guy, I don't know if I should give him credit, who used to do a RSPW like news feed back in the day. And he used to have a whole bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff involving WWF. And it was a news group called rec.sport.prowrestling, RSPW. Of course, you know RSPW. You've heard it many times. You guys know RSPW, FAQ.net. And this guy put a lot of used to do a weekly newsletter almost with a bunch of behind the scenes stuff. So I thought, why don't we go back to the month that we're in now and go back and read some of this interesting tidbits and see what your guys' thoughts are. Kind of go back into our childhood a little bit and have some fun. So I decided to look into his cache of info and go to this was posted Thursday, May 10th, 1990. And give you some news tidbits all around professional wrestling. And see if you kind of remember these things as a kid. You know, Ben, you were what in 1990?
1990, I was 8.
8. John, you and I were what, 29?
yeah, keep going. Yeah.
No, I was May of 1990. I was 16.
23.
Yeah. I would have been 17. I was a junior in high school. So listen to some of these. This is May of 1990. Listen to some of these tidbits. All right. It was mentioned that there was a strong rumor that at the time that Randy Savage wanted to leave the WWF. It seems that Savage and Vince had it out in earshot of behind-the-scenes crews during the recent Saturday Night's Main Event taping. The following exchange is rumored to have occurred. "I'm tired of wrestling nobodies." That was Savage. Vince says, "If you don't like it, leave." Also, during WrestleMania 6 weekend in Toronto, Savage was not very complimentary to the WWF in a local newspaper interview. "It's rather unfortunate that Savage works for an organization that puts little stress on wrestling ability. Witness Hogan, Warrior, Bravo, Duggan, etc. Even still, Savage's character is incredibly popular with the fans, so he should still have everything going for him. Yet somehow he gets a step in the ring night after night with Dusty Rhodes, something which Big Dust is sure to be smiling about. He's still wrestling against one of the best wrestlers in the world, and he isn't even the booker. The rumors persist that Savage wants out of the WWF. He is under contract till the summer. Of course, should Savage leave, we can expect that Lanny Poffo won't follow not far behind. Maybe there's something to be read into the joining of Heenan and Kurt Hennig and the apparent breakup of Perfect and the Genius. Should Lanny disappear, it may well indicate that Randy is not far behind." John, could you imagine if Savage left in 1990?
I got to ask. She was too young. How old was Stephanie at the time? But no, that's too creepy. I'm sorry.
I don't even know if that was – oh, wow.
Nah, it's just –
I mean, that's crazy, right, Ben?
Yeah.
Yeah, the thought of Savage in 1990 WCW is pretty – it's pretty trippy. He would be – you know, and he would be in position to be there after Flair left, him working with Sting and Luger in the early 90s.
He'd have gotten there before Hogan. Stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And who knows how established he would be by the time Hogan gets there. It's very interesting to think about.
We wouldn't have got Savage Warrior, so it would have been.
Yeah, that's true.
WrestleMania 7 would have sucked.
Yep.
Also unhappy with his current program in the WWF is Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh, my God.
Damn it. Not that anybody. I do, but Jim is a little peeved about being paired against the Earthquake, who has a tendency not to fully brace his flying sip maneuver.
Oh.
Shut the fuck up. Duggan and his aching chest are expected to feud with Dark Destruction. Sure. You know who Dark Destruction was supposed to be? Former boxer Michael Doakes.
Oof. Wow.
Although he was looking a little plump when he got knocked out by, I forgot who it was. Could you... Dark Destruction.
Typical, typical 80s, 90s. who was booking? Paul Orndorff?
Shit. So Mr. Perfect has joined up with Bobby Heenan, also rumored to be joining the family shortly is Rick Martel, who has quietly left manager Slick. So Bobby has will have four singles wrestlers, Henning, Rude, Martel, and the Barbarian. The question is, what tag team will be formed out of this mess after Rude, Barbarian, and Martel all failed to beat the Ultimate Warrior? I could see some real potential in a Rude Martel team with an eventual split up because of ego problems.
That would be a great team.
That would be great.
Yeah, that would be a great team.
What a great combination of guys. Wow. Imagine Rick Martel in the Heenan family. That'd been pretty cool. Yeah. Although I almost feel like his character was over almost too bombastic for Bobby's family. They wouldn't have needed a well, maybe not. I think it still would have been pretty cool.
They pointed out correctly, though. I mean, him and Rude basically make each other redundant because they're kind of the same gimmick.
Yeah.
So there would definitely one of them would have to be on borrowed time. That would be interesting just to get one of them as a babyface in the early 90s WWF.
Mm, I agree. That would have been very interesting.
Yeah, I think it would have been Rude, probably.
Brutus Beefcake is expected to be out for at least 6 weeks after injuring his leg. Also out with leg problems, Tugboat Thomas. That's right. Remember, he had the name Thomas. Mm. And Dusty Rhodes. That's what happens when you're carrying on the sardines and oatmeal diet. $5.50 I might buy. The greatest commentary ever by Jesse at WrestleMania.
Poor Sapphire.
Andre the Giant is currently doing what is being billed as his retirement tour. It seems the big guy wants to wrestle one more time in all of his favorite cities. You could see it at WrestleMania 6 when he didn't get in the match with the Muscle Connection and then the face turn, which is one of my favorite WrestleMania moments of all time. Saw Hard Rock Paul Diamond. I'll start calling you that. Hard Rock Arsenio D'Amato. That'd be very interesting. Do some squash work on a recent WWF show. Fans of Diamond shouldn't worry, though. Word has that Mr. Fuji's contract with the WWF will expire shortly, and the aging manager may leave the WWF. Akio Sato is also rumored to be leaving at this time. That leaves the road open for Bad Company to reunite in the WWF. Bad Company, of course, for those that don't know, was Paul Diamond and Pat Tanaka. And they were fantastic. They were a great tag team. Managed by Sherry, I believe. Right? Did Sherry manage them? No.
I think she might have at one point, but Diamond Dallas Page managed them at one point,
That's
too.
Right. Yes. Yep, you're right. Here we go. Bad News Brown allegedly struck a fan at ringside after a recent bout. He's been suspended indefinitely. The good news is that we won't have to put up with a stupid... snake, routine guy in the ghetto, afraid of a snake. Another booking job by Paul Orndorff. Maybe, just maybe, the Martel Roberts feud that was originally scheduled to take place will take place. And of course, as we all know, it did. Not only can Sapphire not move well in the ring or give an interview, she can't control her punches. It seems at a house show match, she broke Sherry's nose. All right, Dusty! Oof. Big Boss Man, the one guy that has actually developed after coming into the WWF. He carried Jake Roberts through a good match in the Tokyo Egg Dome.
Damn.
Interesting.
Yeah, would have liked to see that one, man.
Yeah, me too.
That sounds like a great feud that we missed out on. Yeah.
Yeah, Jake and imagine? Jake and Boss Man?
Come on. Yeah.
Shifting gears out of the WWF. Rumored to be on their way out of the NWA, the Royal Family, Jack Victor and Rip Morgan. Jack Victor's about as old as we... seems like he's about as old as we are, John. When their contract expires. Shane Douglas has been canned. The Young Bloods have quit already, too. Rumors have the Road Warriors leaving when their contract ends at the end of the year, which, of course, we know they did because they showed up at SummerSlam. Owen Hart is doing the NWA in August or September. Also trying out for the NWA, Steve DeSalvo. Word has it that his tryout was really bad, so we probably won't see him. Paulie Dangerously seems to be coming in to announce now that Terry Funk has hit the high road. Larry Cameron is also in as a face. Anybody remember Larry Cameron?
I've heard the name before. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think he was an ex-football player.
Yeah, he was this big dude. This book that Justin and I both had, and obviously different stages of our childhood, I think it was Napolitano did a book of, like, pictures. And yeah. Larry Cameron was in it. This guy was fucking huge. He was like Johnson huge, like big ripped. I thought, wow, this guy looks like a superstar. Never saw him in anything. But I always remember his name in the mags. But he was never.
Canada, maybe? A Stampede, maybe?
Yeah, maybe he was. Or maybe he was like, you know, Mid-South, 1990. He probably wasn't there. Mid-South was gone by then. I don't know. Maybe he was in like Central States, or maybe he was with, you know, Harley's St. Louis. I don't know. But he was in the book. And I'm like, man, that guy's ripped. But never saw him anywhere. It was really weird. Seems that Tony Schiavone learned a fair bit from his stint at Titan. The changes implemented to the Worldwide Wrestling program in the past couple weeks take some of the good ingredients of the WWF shows and end up giving the NWA show a more structured feel. This guy talks about how he feels like they know what they're doing, detail who we're going to see today with still clips, prelim matches. Now, if only Tony could get a complimentary announcing partner, not a Kevin Sullivan or a Teddy Long, but someone who isn't nauseating. Kevin Sullivan is an announcer. Can we even deal with that? This past weekend's WWW show, Worldwide Wrestling, was probably the best in a while, in between some squash matches that weren't particularly boring. The Flair Luger showdown angle was built up nicely. Overwhelmed to see Barry Windham do a run-in at the end of the match. Pounding on Sting's leg was great as well. Here we go. Here's a scary thought, according to this guy. The Randy Savage and Sherry Martel versus Dusty Rhodes and Sapphire saga will have a slight twist in the next couple of months once Dusty returns. When Brother Love and Elizabeth take on active roles as corner people for the two teams. This apparently is meant to lead to a six-person tag match at SummerSlam featuring all of the above. Liz in wrestling tights, which would look pretty great, but that match would have been atrocious. Thank God that did not happen. There's chance of a Hogan-Warrior rematch at SummerSlam should the Rick Rude versus Warrior story not get any heat.
Yeah.
It didn't, but they didn't change it.
They didn't budge on that one.
What do you think, John? What if there was what if Hogan and Warrior did rematch at SummerSlam in Philly?
I disagree, though, about the Brother Love match. I would like to see Elizabeth and Brother Love throw down. That would have been. And how much more of a shit show could it have been than Sapphire and then the mixed tag? That would have added a little something.
Yeah, I don't know. Would have been interesting. Looks like Flair will almost have to drop the NWA strap to Luger at the pay-per-view on the 19th. May 19th. What was May 19th?
May
19th. Capital Combat. Luger just can't afford to fail another time or the fans will lose faith in him.
Shows what they know.
The Terry Funk as referee bit could have given a nice screwjob ending, but now Terry's gone. Figured a big surprise Barry Windham run-in for a Four Horsemen reunion would be used. No longer makes sense since Windham's return was used this weekend. Flair signing with Flair signed until 1994. How about this one? With Flair signed until 1994, it seems possible he'll drop the belt to Luger, something he apparently prefers over dropping it to Sting, which is absolutely false.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
So that's interesting. In other, some of you Net fans, there were Net fans in 1990.
Sure.
Guessing at the identity of the Fourth Horseman. It's no secret that Ole wants strictly a managerial role in things at most, leaving Flair, Arn, and Windham as the Three Horsemen. Rumors are strong now that Sid Vicious will be taken on as a Horseman when he returns in July, which of course he was. He may even make an active appearance earlier than that, perhaps even at Capital Combat. His joining the Horsemen will probably be announced before then. In other Horseman news, Woman was conspicuous by her absence this weekend. Rumors say she may be worked out. Then again, she is supposed to be in Flair's corner for Capital Combat. Let's see. And then he goes through WrestleMania 6. The following quote has been attributed to Vince McMahon following the WWF New Japan All Japan card in the Tokyo Dome. And anything else here? No, that's pretty much it for that one. Hold on. How about this Lithuanian angle? The Bolshevik breakup is apparently going to use it, and the AWA is using it to help Nikita Koloff over as a face. Speaking of which, Nikita beat Larry Zbysko by countout on the joint NWA-AWA card on the weekend. The NWA helped fill the card to replay the loan of the Destruction Crew earlier this year. Totally forgot that AWA was still around in 1990.
Yeah.
I thought they went out earlier than that. Dustin Rhodes is trying out for the WWF. Still temporarily in the WWF is Terry Taylor, still playing the Red Rooster. Terry actually left for a while and is filling time since the NWA won't negotiate with him while he is under contract to Titan. Also returning as a proficient jobber, is Jim Brunzel. Any interesting tidbits there, guys? Anything that that hopped out at you there?
Jim Brunzel jumped out at me.
All right, so here's the next one from the following week. Here's some other tidbits. Bad News Brown is going to finish out his feud with Jake Roberts before his suspension for hitting a fan takes effect. You know that Vince just has to complete all his questionable programs. Last week, Buddy Roberts took on Leon Spinks. Yes, that Leon Spinks. In a 3-round bout in Columbia, Kentucky. Cousin Luke and Dick the Bruiser also appeared on the card. Next week, Roberts takes on Harley Race in a Chicago bar. Harley Race, shit out of him. It's kind of interesting that while the Ultimate Warrior is dropping weight, Rick Rude is adding bulk. I wonder how, John. Looks like Vince wants to give the impression that Rude can actually beat the Warrior. The WWF bigger is better fan might buy it. This isn't too surprising, so the Warrior-Rude program will have to carry the summer for the WWF. Hulk Hogan began his sabbatical in the ring this week. I don't know about his movie plans, but he's going to film a Gillette commercial. Jake Roberts out with a neck injury. Dusty out still with his foot injury. Speaking of Dusty, latest rumors have Dusty bailing out of the WWF and heading back to NWA as a booker. Of course, he would last, what, another 6 or 7 months before leaving in early 1991. Tugboat just didn't sail too well with the fans in the WWF. I guess WWF fans don't want to cheer two hooting idiots. Oh, my God. The WWF has officially changed his name to Bronto. I don't know what the gimmick involves yet, and is going to set up a program between him and Dino Bravo. Bravo and Bronto!
Oh, my God.
What is that? Let's see. More Larry Cameron news. I'm going to skip that because we really don't know who he is. Latest boardroom scuttlebutt has a major corporation trying to buy the NWA from Ted Turner. So WCW technically was only, what, 2 years old at this point? And somebody was already trying to buy it. Imagine if it was one of the networks. Fox was only 3 years old at this point. I don't think they had the money, though. Depends how much they wanted to pay. The Road Warriors are really unhappy with the offer tabled to them by the NWA, an offer that Scott Steiner has apparently accepted. Word has them leaving to go to Japan for a bit. And then, imagine if the Steiners were in the WWF in 1990.
That would have been awesome.
Oh.
They would have... That would have been pretty cool. Them and Demolition. I think them and the Heart Foundation would have been fantastic.
Absolutely. Oh, man.
That would have been great to see Brett work with Scott before Scott, you know, became a, you know, misshapen mess. Let's see. So Capital Combat's coming up at this time. Paul Diamond jobbed to Jimmy Snuka. So I guess they had a lot of love of him. When was really the first time you watched anything then, Ben, if you were 8, 1990?
It was actually SummerSlam 1990 was my first show.
Okay.
I watched it at Buddy's house, and I remember Survivor Series 1990 was the first show we ever got at my house. Mm. So this is right in my wheelhouse, right when I was dropping into wrestling.
Wow.
Good
times.
Yeah, it was a great show, SummerSlam 1990.
I had no idea who anybody was, and I thought it was amazing.
I know. Don't we all think that way?
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh my God. Listen to this. This is from the following week. In accordance with some offline comments from Wade Bills, I don't know who Wade Bills is. Bronto, who we mentioned was Tugboat, will be a caveman type character who will probably carry a club to the ring with him.
No. Jeez. We really lost out on something special.
That would have been great, Ed, if you carried a chick by a hair to the
ring. Hair! Yeah. As also mentioned, Ole Anderson will be the single booker for the NWA, as we all realized in 1990. That didn't do much because it's all sucked. The Road Warriors seem to be WWF bound in the very near future. There's talk that Capital Combat was their last pay-per-view appearance in the NWA and that they probably won't last through the summer, which they don't because they do show up at SummerSlam. It's kind of a funny, since with the Ole and as a booker, they may have received a massive push. Ole was booking during the period when the Legion of Doom was a really feared quantity. Peggy Lee Leather beat Bambi for the U.S. Women's Crown at Colonial Virginia. Peggy Lee Leather.
Leather, wow.
I thought you knew her, John. Maybe not. How about Bambi? Rumors have Junkyard Dog back in the NWA to take a run at Ric Flair. I guess when you make everyone a horseman and kill one of your two big faces while the other is still injured, you're pushed to extremes. Of course, the nickname that he had at the time was the junk food dog because he was incredibly plump. This was the weekend that Hogan and Earthquake would have their encounter on the Brother Love Show. And, of course, Earthquake would get taken out by Hogan. With the apparent re-entry of Doug Furness into the NWA, of course, Furness and LaFon, is there any mention of his tag partner from the Japanese rings, Dan Crawford, who I believe was LaFon, correct?
Yep, he was LaFon.
There you go. Dusty Rhodes is back from his foot injury, which we've been monitoring on this show so far. Apparently, Rick Rude will shortly be claiming that Rudomania is running rampant in the WWF.
I got the gout.
Imagine Rudomania.
Rudomania.
Rude fails to beat the Warrior throughout the summer, turns face, and feuds Mr. Perfect, perhaps with a Hogan endorsement to further faceify him. Babyface Rick Rude.
I'm intrigued by it.
Yeah.
Wow.
We missed out.
Yeah. We missed out on a Hogan feud and a Rude face. We missed out.
Yep. Since the Warrior's ability to carry the organization seems to be questionable, which I don't think was totally his fault, Rude takes the gold strap away from him to help heat up the summer in the WWF. This sets up the battle of the century as Rudomania takes on Hulkamania when Hogan returns after the summer.
Man. We missed out. And,
yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, I think I would have too.
Oh, God.
I think I would have too. In the final newsletter for the month of May, this is a week after the run-in with Earthquake, and it says there'll be a Get Well Hulk address given shortly, and Hogan will announce his retirement from wrestling, saying he first let his fans down and then he was taken out by Earthquake. Plans seem to have Bronto leading. Could you imagine? He drags Hogan by the hair to the ring.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Could you have imagined?
Bronto.
And they're still talking about that six-person tag match. Dusty, Sapphire, and Elizabeth against Savage, Sherry, and Brother Love. Wow. Following on the feet of the WWF card in Japan, we just might have a Japanese card in North America. Talk of big names being involved, like Hogan or Flair. Kendall Windham was sentenced to 27 months in prison, and the late, great Blackjack Mulligan.
Counterfeiting,
for making some scratch in their basement. let's see. Latest on the Road Warriors move to the WWF. They're being called the Legion of Doom, wearing their face paint, growing their hair. Can't have them look like the Powers of Pain. See, I always thought the Powers of Pain were the Road Warrior knockoffs, not Demolition.
Hey, lover.
Hey, lover. I've got my coach bag. And we were just beginning the house show circuit for a new tag team called Power and Glory.
Glory, yes.
Tremendous. Tremendous. So those were some tidbits from the month of May.
Cool.
1990. We'll try and keep doing this.
Yeah.
Over the next, when we get to a show with it, you know, in June and go through the June stuff. I got to talk to, you know, even though I'm the editor-in-chief and I have the big office with all the scotch and the cigars, I do kind of go to Brad for the legal things. So I have to see if I can actually get more info on where this info came from before I I don't want to go to court looking like Phil Spector. So with a Macanudo sticking out of my mouth and a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue.
Yeah, Bronto's going to sue you.
So I can't believe that Christian didn't come up with that. Bronto. Anything else you want to chat about, guys? Anything else going on in the world of professional wrestling? What do you think? Let's talk about NXT quickly. Let's talk about NXT for a minute. A lot of people think NXT is a little thin in the talent department. We already have, of course, the next takeover slated for June 8th, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe rematch. Anticipation is that Joe will keep the belt, and that's Balor's entrance to the WWE. Otherwise, what are your thoughts on the way NXT looks at the moment, Ben? I almost said TNA. I hope they never get compared.
It was an appropriate Freudian slip because TNA has become the latest feeder system for NXT with Eric Young, with Bobby Roode, with Austin Aries. I mean, and Samoa Joe's the champion. It basically has become, you were talking a little while ago, Scott, about how TNA was good during those 2006 to 2010 years. Now NXT's grabbing up all the people that made TNA good, and they're going to handle them the right way. So I think NXT is going to be fine. It's this is the wrestling business where you never run out of the potential prospects. They've graduated a lot of people, but honestly, getting to see these new guys and some of the guys who are coming in to work the Cruiserweight show, as Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews and those guys get cycled out, I think it's keeping NXT fresh. I think the women's feuds are great. I think the tag team division's great. I think NXT's in good shape.
What do you think, John, NXT at the moment?
Oh, they're gearing up. This can be a big summer. They're gearing up for the Cruiserweight tournament. And also, I believe they're having another Dusty Rhodes tag team tournament. So it's going to be a hot summer. And if you saw Breaking Ground, there's a lot of guys on there that we haven't even seen yet that are, I'm sure, are ready to come up. So they're going to have guys keep coming up. It's going to be a good summer for NXT.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they need to be rebuilt a little bit. I like that Joe's the champ. I think it stabilizes things. But I don't see the problem. What are your thoughts on it? I know we mentioned this during the when we were talking about Extreme Rules. What are your thoughts on maybe not just being a feeder ground to bring guys up? What do you think about guys that need a change of pace going down? Because the whole thing Triple H wants to put forth is that NXT is not AAA. NXT is its own entity. So.
Right. No, it worked for, it worked for Zack Ryder, a perfect example.
How yeah.
It
worked for Tyson Kidd, too.
Yeah. Sure. No, that's great.
Why not?
They should always have a few guys from WWE down in NXT at any given time. You know, the Dolph Ziggler example was a good one. I think there's a lot of guys who could use the freshening up, and they could benefit from being on top somewhere. Ziggler's not going to be world champion, but he could be NXT champion and be the guy and learn what that's like, and that could renew WWE's interest in him.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that NXT is going to have an interesting summer because we got a big weekend coming up in Brooklyn in August. And
Scott, are you hyped for it?
Hyped? If I ever see that guy win a belt, I'm blaming you, Ben.
Hyped.
No. If they can't give it to Bull Dempsey, they never should give it to Mojo.
Bullfit.
Ever. Bullfit, baby. What's wrong with winning a title with a bag of Doritos in your shorts? I mean, come on. No problem with that.
They missed out on that.
That was terrible. There's a lot they've missed out on. But they need to be hot going into Brooklyn in August. So I think they're going to be very careful with NXT over the next couple months. I think they have two. I think they have great champions. Love American Alpha.
Oh God.
Love Asuka. Although I like Asuka better. It sounds more heel. Asuka, and she's hot. Are you upset Bayley is still in NXT? She's probably better off, right, Ben?
I think now's a good time for her to stay in NXT, just because there's like we said, there's not a lot of room on the main roster. They're not going to leapfrog her over Sasha. So her staying in NXT for the time being means she gets to be big fish in a small pond for a little bit longer. I think it's inevitable she is going to come up and be a big star, but let Charlotte and Sasha and Becky have their turn. And then when they've kind of exhausted that, they can move on to Bayley.
What do you think, John?
Yeah, it's tough. Everybody's got to be patient. Everybody wants Joe, Finn Balor, everybody to come up like right now and win all the belts. It's like all a matter of timing. You got to be patient. Sasha's time is going to be SummerSlam, and then I'm sure right after that, Bayley will come up probably in the fall to challenge Sasha. So just got to be patient. It's time for everything.
Yeah, I think the moment will come for her. I definitely did need a rematch, and I'm sure we'll see that at the next TakeOver. Do you think NXT needs a secondary belt, like a TV title?
I do. I'd like to see it. I think these guys need something to fight for.
I agree. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
I always like belts. Plenty of belts. I mean, they should have had a US tag team belt when we were kids. Would have loved to. I mean, think of all the tag teams we had in the WWF, and a secondary, you know, secondary belts would have been very helpful. But we'll monitor NXT over time, and obviously we're coming up on the half year point. So on our next episode of the main event, whoever I get on, maybe we'll do another kind of roster half year report. Those have been pretty successful. I've had some good times with that. So maybe we'll check the roster in WWE and the roster in NXT as we get to the halfway point of this 2016 calendar year. And then, of course, after Sunday, we head to – is it St. Louis, Ben?
No, it is the T-Mobile Center in Nevada.
Paradise, Vegas. Nevada. It's the new building. That's actually the brand new building, I think.
Yep, out in Vegas.
The T-Mobile Center in Vegas. That's the new building that they just built. I think they're closing the Thomas & Mack Center.
Yeah, I think Guns N' Roses had one of the first shows of.
Yeah. So, all right. So, we'll be in Vegas in June. Maybe it's St. Louis in July. Maybe Battlegrounds. I know there's a pay-per-view coming up in St. Louis. I think
they're not coming to St. Louis for the rest of the year, Scott. I got the whole calendar in front of me.
They just had one there recently, Scott.
I know they did. When?
Yeah.
They're going to be in Vegas for Money in the Bank, D.C. for Battleground, Brooklyn for SummerSlam, Indianapolis for Night of Champions, and then TBD from there.
Okay. So they'll probably be at, what is it, Financial Life, Bank Life Arena, or whatever it is in Indianapolis.
Yep, Bankers
Life. I'm sure they'll be Bankers Life Center. And, of course, I'm sure there'll be a West Coast somewhere, L.A., Oracle Arena in Oakland or something. I'm sure there'll be a West Coast venue.
And the Wells Fargo Center, I'm sure we'll get. In the center, not arena, the Wells Fargo Center, I'm sure.
That is Wells Fargo. Yeah. It's going to be in a bank.
The center, not the arena.
Hey, cut me a break. all right. That'll about wrap things up for this very fun edition of the main event. Ben Morse, thank you as always.
My pleasure.
I don't talk to you nearly enough, and we do need to get together very soon.
Absolutely.
Anything coming up on the horizon for you? How are things at the Big M?
Yeah, we just had a little movie called Captain America Civil War.
You did?
It's doing pretty well. We're gearing up for Doctor Strange
I am so pumped for Doctor Strange. First of all, I like who's playing him.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be disappointed.
No, I like who's playing him. It's Cumberbatch, right?
Yep, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
Will be Doctor Strange.
Khan is playing Doctor Strange, which is pretty awesome. Thank you, Ben. We'll talk soon. John, I'll see you Friday.
Yeah, you'll be sick of me by the end of the summer.
As long as you keep changing your sneakers. We need to see the whole collection.
I got plenty to come around. Yeah. I got that covered.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
No problem. For John J. Arsenio Diamato and for Ben Morse, I'm Scott Criscolo. You were in the main event. And if you have initials as your first name, Ben loves you. Whether you win or not remains to be seen. Have a wonderful 2 weeks. I know the room.
Sun is shining, it's a new morning.